They're reacting to two new messages, he continued. One is from Emerald, and strongly suggests that Prince Narmon has elected to align himself with King Caleb and the Church of Kharis. Whether he's done so out of conviction or out of the pragmatic need to survive is more than anyone here in Zion can possibly guess at this moment. Somewhat to my own surprise, I find myself inclining to the theory that it may indeed be a matter of conviction, or at least a combination of the two. I base this in no small part upon past conversations with Earl Pinehollow's younger brother, but I emphasize that it can only be an opinion at this time. Nonetheless, judging from what my sources in Clinton's office have been able to tell me, I believe our Grand Inquisitor's interpretation of Narmon's actions is essentially accurate, whatever the prince's motives may have been. The second message is from Thurade, in the Kingdom of Delphirac. My sources were able to get me an actual copy of the original semaphore message, which doesn't quite match exactly what Clinton reported to the other three. According to the original message, the attempt to seize the Kharisian galleons in the port turned into a bloodbath after someone in one of the boarding parties shot and killed a woman armed only with a belaying pin. There's no question, according to the dispatch, but that the Delphiracans shot first, and that their very first victim appears to have been a woman, whose sole crime was to attempt to prevent them from boarding her husband's ship. Wilson's face was grim, his eyes bleak, and he felt the same anger radiating from his audience. Once the Kharisians realized they were under attack and began attempting to defend themselves, it turned even uglier, he told them. In fact, according to this Father Stiven's letter, only 14 Kharisians survived to be taken into custody by the Inquisition.
"Only 14, Your Grace?" a voice asked. The shock in Archbishop Jason Connor's voice was mirrored in his expression, and Wilson nodded.
"I'm afraid so, Jason," he said heavily. Even in a personal message to Clinton, this Father Stiven didn't want to be too explicit, but there's no real question. The Delphirakan troops massacred virtually every Kharisian they got their hands on, and from the very careful way Father Stiven chooses his words, I'm quite certain that one reason the troops got out of hand was because they were being egged on by him and his fellow Schulerites.
Wilson himself wore the sword and flame of the Order of Schuler, and shame made his voice even flatter and harder than it might have been otherwise.
"May God have mercy on their souls," Vicar Garrett Tanner murmured.
"Amen,"
Wilson agreed quietly, bowing his head. There was a moment of silence, made somehow stiller and more intense by the sound of the autumn storm lashing the church's exterior. Then Wilson raised his head once more.
"No one in the office of the Inquisition is going to admit what actually happened. In fact, Clinton hasn't even admitted the full truth to the other three. I'm not sure why. It may be that he's afraid of Ducairn's possible reaction. At any rate, the official position of Mother Church is going to be that the Kharisians provoked the Delphirakans, who were only attempting to peacefully board and sequester their vessels. It was the Kharisians' fault there was any fighting at all, and their resistance was obviously a result of their heretical rejection of Mother Church's legitimate authority to order their vessels detained. Clinton is also planning on grossly exaggerating the number of Delphirakan casualties while understating the number of Kharisian dead."
Someone muttered something indistinct, which Wilson felt quite certain went poorly with the speaker's high clerical rank.
"In addition to all of that," he continued, "there's the reason they're in such a hurry to get their version of events out. It seems at least some of the Kharisians got away. In fact, one of the galleons must have been a heavily armed privateer, judging by the amount of carnage it appears to have wreaked on its way out of Ferade Sound.
That means it isn't going to be very long before Caris starts telling its version of what happened. And the group of four wants to be sure it already has its story straight and issued for public consumption before any inconvenient little truths turn up to challenge it. Much as I despise Clinton, I can understand his reasoning, Samuel, Vicar Howard Wilson said. Howard looked a great deal like his older brother, with the same auburn hair and gray eyes, although he was a member of the Order of Langhorn, not a Schulerite. At the moment, his expression was just as grim as Samuel's as well.
"Oh, we all understand it, Howard," Samuel replied. "And they're undoubtedly correct that almost any of the mainlanders who hear the official version are more likely to believe it than the Carisians' version, especially if they hear the Church's version first and get it set into their minds. Unfortunately, no one on the other side is going to believe it for a moment, and the fact that the Church is obviously lying is only going to be one more nail in the coffin of any hope of reconciliation."
"How realistic is that hope, anyway?" Vicar Cheyenne Hyson asked.